More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast, a production of iHeartRadio. All right, welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast. Today is Open Championship podcast. And joining me is the great predictor, Steve Johnson, who has been missing in action for a long time. How are you doing, great predictor? Where have you been?
Oh, man. It's been a long time, Hank. It's been a long time. Well, you know what I've been doing? I've been killing golf greens is what I've been doing.
Oh, really?
We lost nine greens. Nine of them.
Nine.
Got a nine-hole golf course. Lost every green. How about that?
So you have a zero-hole golf course. You got browns or what?
Tees and fairways.
How's that work out? A lot of people lining up to play?
I mean, you know, just like in anything, Hank, you've taught me well. I mean, the first thing I think was, okay, what are my options? What are my game plans for this? Because, you know, we got caught by the winter freeze and we didn't really know it here in Dallas until the winter grass died and I had no Bermuda grass to come up when the winter grass, you know, died out.
Yeah.
We just, every day it kept getting worse and worse. And so I thought, what would Hank do? And I said, okay, we got to look at our options. And everyone, I mean, here in Dallas, Hank, sod is a tough commodity to get. Sprigs are a tough commodity to get. We're getting pretty late in the season right now. So my plan is I'm going to take out all the grass on the greens. I'm going to overseed in about 45 days. I'll have good grass from the fall all the way through the spring. And then in the spring, I'm going to tear that grass out and I'm going to sprig with a nice Bermuda grass.
Okay. That's a good plan. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't come up with that plan totally on my own, but I'm claiming it.
Okay. All right. Good. Good. How's the teaching business going?
Teaching business is going great. We have about 25 teachers here, and it's like a reunion, Hank. I mean, we've got guys coming from, from back in the day. I mean, Tim Cusick's teaching with us again, and we've got the standards, Dougie Alexander's here, and Chris Winton is coming. Chris
Winton. Oh, come on, is he?
Yep. Yeah. Oh, he's a businessman, but he's thinking about teaching a little bit. He comes and gets balls here. We have one of the biggest underachievers in the world, according to you, Brock Mulder. He's here.
Is he teaching?
No, he's not teaching. He's just he's playing. Both of those guys are very successful businessmen, Hank, and they passed me up a long time ago. But it's great to see the guys. We got Big Al Moralt comes out sometimes.
Oh my gosh, you are bringing old time week here.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
This is great.
If we had a couple horses and a couple backups of the plumbing, we'd be like the old days.
A couple couple backups of the block. Oh, man, we did have some challenging days at the Hank Haney Golf Ranch, no doubt about it. All right, let's talk a little. What do you want to talk about today? I got a lot. We got a lot of topics we could go on. I want to. What do you want to start with?
Well, let's start out with the Open Championship because, you know, the world rankings are looking there. I mean, God dang, they're favoring the United States.
What, on the favorites or what?
Oh, yeah. In the top 20, I think there's four guys outside of the United States listed on the world golf rankings.
Oh, I know. That's kind of a joke. I mean, I like, you know, they're talking about the Ryder Cup over in Europe. I mean, that's their big thing, you know, and they're grilling Koepka. I mean, they're just grilling him.
Oh, God,
they've been on him. I mean, just on him, like about, you know, are you going to be able to, how can you be on the same team with DeChambeau and you guys, you know, don't you think it's going to be tough being on the same team and what are you going to do? And of course, Koepka's like, I can get along with, you know, I'm not going to be playing with him. He said, we're not going to be high-fiving. But, you know, we can be on the same team. I would just do my job. He does his job. Anyway, on that subject, do you think they're, you know, well, first off, you know how I feel about the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And it's like, yeah. I can't wait to watch it. Love to watch it. One of my favorite golf events there is. At the end of the day, couldn't care less. You know, couldn't care less. I mean, like it's not going to ruin a minute of my life if the U.S. doesn't win. And by the way, if they don't win, it's ridiculous because they're going to be so heavily favored. It's a joke.
Yeah.
Going
yeah.
off of what you said, the world rankings. But anyway, does it matter at all? Does it matter to anybody? It matters to Europe. I know that. But does it matter about Koepka and DeChambeau? That's my question to you.
No, I mean, you know, let's bring it back to the real world, Hank. I mean, we've all worked with people and have done, you know, even in successful businesses, we've all worked with people that we don't really like. You know, I mean, we're not best friends with everybody we work with.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, just you find like a Koepka, I think, has a great perspective on it. He says, you know, hey, we're not going to be high-fiving. We're not going to be going out to dinner. He's going to be sitting over there and I'm going to be sitting here. You know what? We'll be fine. And it, Brooks Koepka can clam up at any time too. I mean, he's not one. He'll throw a little bit under the, you know, under the radar stuff and you know, kind of a jab here and there. But he's not a guy that needs to be heard. He's not one of the leaders in the clubhouse. That's for sure.
No, that's true. That's true. The this is why he said the whole thing got going. And he said, I'm not shutting up. You know, he broke his word and I'm, you know, he's fair game now. And it all boils down to this. Okay. So this is what sparked the whole thing. Everybody thought it was like, you know, the walking behind him with the cleats on at the Kiowa.
Right.
But where this goes back farther than that. And where it goes back to is that this is so ridiculous. Okay, so it goes back to the fact that Bryson DeChambeau was pissed off because Koepka mentioned his name when they were talking about slow play. You know, remember back in the day?
I remember that.
Yeah, when DeChambeau took like 5 minutes to putt or something. What was
right.
that? I think, yeah, okay. So he was pissed off about that. And then, so DeChambeau goes up to Koepka's caddy.
Yeah, Ricky Elliott.
Okay, goes up to Ricky Elliott. And he says, if your man's got something to say, have him say it to me. Okay. Which Koepka, you know, immediately thought was a little ironic because if you've got something to say, why are you saying it to my caddy?
Right.
Why don't you just come and say it to me, which is a good point. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, if we're just keeping track of score here, who's making good points. I mean, I like both these guys cause I kind of like all this stuff that's going on, but anyway, Koepka took, you know, offense to that, but then I guess they talked and they, you know, hashed it out or something. And they kind of agreed that they were going to, you know, both shut up and Koepka wasn't going to mention his name, you know, in slow play conversations. And, you know, that was going to be it. Okay. Then DeChambeau somehow after that jumped in on the when Koepka had the body issue. Remember when he did what is the body issue?
Oh, yeah, that's ESPN. That's ESPN body issue. You know, all the athletes are nude. Koepka lost 35 pounds about 3 weeks before the Masters.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. That teed off Brandel too, right? Remember?
Right. Exactly. Brandel said he wasn't focused.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So that teed off. Okay. So DeChambeau mentions that somewhere. And then when he did that, then Koepka said, okay, you broke your word. Anything goes now. Well, now that was a long time ago. I mean, wasn't that a couple of years?
Talk about holding a grudge. That's a little holding a grudge there, isn't it?
So they're at it, and the European press is loving it because, you know, they think this is going to give them an edge on the all important exhibition, which would be the Ryder Cup. Love to watch it. Couldn't care less after it's done who won or lost. Don't lose a second of sleep on if the U.S. loses.
Right.
They should win. But don't lose a sleep if they don't.
No, but it's entertainment. It's entertainment TV. Yeah. Yeah,
it's entertainment TV. Yeah. That's what it is. But anyway, they're all over that. They always have something they're into when you go to the Open Championship. They got all these newspapers over there, and they all like to talk about gossip, and it's a big part of what they do. So anyway, that's the topic number one. All right, we're going to get into the tournament a little bit. Royal St. George Golf Course. I don't know if you know anything about this place, but we'll talk about that.
No, you've been there though. You've been there, haven't you?
Yeah, it's not the greatest open venue. Koepka had something to say about that too. So we'll look at that when we come back. Let me tell everybody to get your videos sent in to the Great Predictor. Are people still sending videos into you?
Absolutely, Hank. Yeah, and I'm on a new platform now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's nice. People can not only send one video, but they can send over and over and over. It's very easy for them to send new videos so they can stay in touch. Yeah. golfschools@hankhaney.com. Just send a down the line video and tell us your big miss. Now, Hank, some guy says, hey, I've got more than one miss. I said, hey, a lot of people have more than one miss. Tell us what they are, and we're going to help you figure it out.
Yeah, there you go. But you got to give us some idea or where your bad shot goes. And you got to fix one before you fix the other. I mean, you got to, you'll tell them what to fix, but you got to fix one bad shot. Then you're down to one, and now you can work on the other one. But golfschools@hankhaney.com. So send it in for Steve. Get your video analyzed for free. And you can also sign up at haneyuniversity.com to get your free instructional videos from me. So that's your two free offers right there. All right, we'll be right back on the Hank Haney Podcast.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough, that we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go, like, how do I detach from my, this idea of what, is that my baggage? It doesn't look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get ready for Smart Money Happy Hour. Pull up a chair. It's the happy hour you wish your friends were having.
Mix two money experts with some hot takes and a splash of nostalgia, and you get me, George Campbell.
And me, Rachel Cruz, talking unfiltered about what's going on in the world, pop culture, and how to afford a life you love.
We're talking money, celebrity budgets, and my budget for my two French bulldogs. It's a lot.
You'll hear it all on Smart Money Happy Hour. Listen on the iHeart app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, Steve, you found the Koepka quote. Regarding what my question was, whether or not this will affect them, what did he say?
You know, I mean, it's the great predictor predicted it. I didn't even know what the quote was. It says, it doesn't matter. I've won on golf courses that I'm not a big fan of before. It has nothing to do with it. Still got to get up and go, got to hit the shots and do what I'm supposed to do. So it doesn't bug me.
Yeah,
I don't care whether I like the place, don't like it. You still got to play good and go hit shots. That's what he says.
Yeah, well, he's trying, you know, and he's trying to complete the career grand slam. He's got to get two of them. He's got to get the Masters and he's got to get this one. And he's a major championship player. I don't know. It's so hard to predict with Koepka. I mean, what do you make out of him this week? I mean, do you have him near the top of your list or what?
No. He's not on the top of my list, Hank. He's in fact, I mean, you know what? I don't even know if he's healthy or not, Hank.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. You never know what he's got.
He and Dustin Johnson have really thrown me for a loop because last year, 2 years ago, we would have picked those two guys for almost every week.
Yeah.
And they've kind of disappeared.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is with Dustin Johnson. I haven't heard anything. I don't know what his deal is. I can't go with him right now. Although he did just return to number one in the world. Rahm finished seventh at Scottish Open and lost his number one ranking. Dustin Johnson didn't even play. How about that for the world golf rankings? I mean, how reliable are they?
Yeah, that's not yeah. good. That's not good.
All right. Well, let me ask you. Okay, so you're not high on Koepka this week.
No.
Let's go with, and you're not high on DJ. Okay. And what about DeChambeau? He's got the new caddy. Let's not hear about the caddy. What's the report on that?
You know, I mean, you know how important I think the caddies are.
Oh, I know. You think it's the most important position of all sports.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I'm surprised. Tim and I talked about this on Saturday Strong, Hank, that, you know, if I were Bryson DeChambeau, who would I pick? Now, he does have a relationship with this guy, but this guy is not a seasoned caddy. Bryson DeChambeau is going to have to coach this guy into his position quite a bit if it's going to be a permanent deal. I was predicting that Bryson DeChambeau would go with somebody that knew the course, that somebody that knew the competition, that somebody that has brought home winners before.
Like a Bones. Seriously?
Yeah, like a Bones.
Oh,
I don't know
come
about
on.
Steve Williams.
There's no chance, Steve. How could they caddy for you? The guy's a psycho. you gotta be like part psycho with him. You can't just be a good caddy. You can't be a great caddy. I mean, seriously?
Well, I mean, I tell you what. The Bryson DeChambeau and Chris Como seem to be in the same wavelength. And this guy that is caddying for him, the Ziegler guy, is a protege of Como. Right. So, I mean, they must, they may be going to invent their own language. Who knows? I mean, they've got some goofy old videos that they show that they're having fun playing, you know, hitting shots. And, hey, you know, Bryson, why don't you get it up to 400 miles an hour and all that stuff? I mean, you know, it's just goofy to me. I don't know if. I mean, the guy is a hell of a player, Hank. He is a hell of a player. Bryson DeChambeau.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. But But he's a hell of a. Did you see him play at the match four though, Steve? They used Aaron Rodgers' drive six out of seven holes in one stretch. I mean, that's not good, Steve. I mean,
no,
that's not
that
good.
Just goes to show you though. They showed the thing that I liked about the match, Hank, is that they showed real golf. Great players hit very marginal shots a lot.
Well, that's true. That's a good point.
That was a goofy course too, Hank. I mean, come on.
Yeah, and they're just swinging for the fences. They wouldn't play that way. They wouldn't play that way if they played in a tournament. I get it. I
no,
mean,
no.
You'd keep the ball in play. You wouldn't just be, you know, you're hitting two drives, so just hit it as hard as you can, far as you can. Yeah, and it's hard. When the ball is going 400 yards, it's a little hard to get it to go in a fairway. I mean, that's the thing that people don't realize. I mean, you know, yeah, you got the altitude. The ball goes forever. Yeah, it goes forever in every direction. That's you know, that's probably okay. So here's this. Here's the word that DeChambeau has on this new caddy, Brian Ziegler. He said he's been a big part of his life for a while. We did a lot of speed training stuff together. You talked about that. This is great. I love this quote. I love this line right here. He was the motivator and the hype man. So he's the guy,
cheerleader.
He's the guy that's over there. Come on, go, go! You can do it, or whatever. You know, and he's the hype man. He calls him. This is new. His new caddy is the hype man. He said he helped me reach new personal records. Is this guy? I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
Should he worry about golf records maybe a little more, or personal speed records?
He definitely wants to make his mark in winning major championships and being considered, you know, I mean, he wants to make his mark in golf, Hank. I mean, we talked about this many times about there's some guys that play for championships and some guys that play for money. He is definitely playing for championships. I don't think the money motivates him. I think,
that's true.
Totally different than Jordan Spieth, but out of the same branch of, hey, they're in it for the championships, no doubt about it.
It's hard to hit sweeping draws, hitting up on the ball 7 degrees, swing as fast as you can, okay, in to out, looping hooks, hitting up on the ball, long club, and then turn around, and on the next shot, you got to hit down 3 or 4 degrees, and you need to, you know, hit a ball straight.
Yeah,
I like the swinging for the fences, but I think there should be a little technique involved. His swing to me looks awful, Steve.
Can you fill in the gaps with that swing, you think, Hank? You know, every clubs have gaps, you know, but there's a gap of yardage between his 6-iron and 7-iron and 7-iron and 8-iron. Is he going to be able to fill those gaps in?
Well, everybody who plays the game pretty much tries to just use one swing. I mean, guys that you know, hit down a little bit too much, you know, they just live with it with the driver. Because, you know, there's guys on tour that, you know, are level at approach or even down a degree, okay?
Uh-huh.
So let's say, you know, typically people would think with a driver you got to hit up a little bit. And there's guys that hit down and they just play with it with the driver and then they're better with their irons. And then there's guys that maybe, you know, hit up a little more on the driver and they kind of just play with it with the irons. But, I mean, to that degree, I mean, this is – it's just so drastic that you literally have to have a couple different swings, which I think is pretty cool. And I think it's awesome that he's trying to do this, but I just don't know if he gets it. I mean, do you think they get it? I mean, does he look at his swing ever? I mean, obviously he must. I mean, it's so across the line, Steve.
Yeah, I know it. I know it. And I mean, you've talked about that before. When that club gets upright, it drops from the inside, and all of a sudden, a guy that's hitting it 100 yards doesn't make any difference. He's still in the fairway. But a guy hitting it 350 yards, man, that thing is in the tall weeds. And he even mentioned it this week, Hank, early on. He says, man, I think there's only a couple holes where I'm going to be able to leash the fury because if you get in this tall grass, you can't play. So –
yeah,
it'd be all interesting right, well, to see. It'd be interesting to see what he does. Well, if you were coaching him, Hank, what would you tell him to get him prepared for this week?
Well, I would still swing for the fences. I like that, but I just try to swing for the fences with a little technique too.
Right.
I mean, yeah. You can't, you know, or if you're going to try to model your swing after a long drive champion, then you have to commit, you have to totally commit to having two different swings. And right now, his swing, if you're going to play with two different swings, okay, one of them is hit up 7 degrees and the other one's hit down a little, okay, and one of them is a long swing and across the line and the other one is more pointed left and where you can get an angle down to the ball. If you're going to play with two swings, you have to monitor, I would say, you have to monitor where your swing is. And is my swing, you know, because you're always trying to find the pendulum and get it in the middle. And you look at it and you say, is my swing too much this way right now? Or is my swing too much this way right now? Now, let's say you're going to play with two swings. Is his swing right now, I'm asking you this question, is his swing right now too much to the driver side of the pendulum or to the short iron side of the pendulum?
Definitely the driver's side.
Yeah, definitely the driver's side. But yet, what does he do? He stands on the driving range and they show him and he just bombs drive after drive after drive after drive. If you wanted to fix your driver, he should be practicing with his irons because he needs more, a little bit closer to an iron swing than the one that he's using. That would be my thought.
So when you're talking, you know, when you're talking technique, I would work on his technique. What specifically are you talking about? His body? Are you talking about his club?
That club is so far across the line at the top. Okay. I just don't know how you can go with that. You know, and they'll point to it and they'll say, "Oh yeah, it's okay to be that way." Look at Matthew. Well, Matthew Wilson, one of the worst ball strikers on the PGA Tour.
Yeah,
statistically. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm just going by the statistics. I mean, you can have your opinion of his swing. You can think, hey, it's great. He's got his own swing. It's great. He does his own. And fine, whatever you want to say. I don't care. I'm just looking at the statistics. Ball striking wise, it's not good. Now, DeChambeau, you know, is number one. You know, strokes gained tee to green or thereabouts, but it's all, you know, most of it is just riding off the driver. He's just hitting it so far. I don't know. The meltdown at the U.S. Open where he was just all over the map and it kind of caught up to him. And that's a golf course. You can pretty much hit it all over the map, Steve, at Torrey Pines.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and he still couldn't get away with it there. And then, you know, the match. I mean, maybe it'll be different at the Open Championship. I don't know. This course, like you just said, I don't think this course sets up for him. Anyway, that's let me ask you about a couple other guys. How about, you know, some of our favorites? Justin Thomas, what do you make of him? He finished, you know, eighth or something at the Scottish Open. He played pretty good. But, you know, he's 150th in putting or something. He just still hasn't improved his putting, Steve.
No. I mean, he had a spurt of it. I mean, we've seen that with other players too, Hank, where they find something and you think, okay, hey, maybe he's got it. Back when we talked to his father a long time ago, he said he was working on his short putts. He needs to work on those again. They don't show him a lot on television anymore, Hank. And, you know, and it surprises me that he was one of the chosen ones, you know, and this whole deal, this, you know, he just got himself in trouble with some comments. And I think that's really bothered him, Hank.
That set him back, didn't it?
Yeah, it really did. It really did. I mean, he's a type of guy. Although he is very focused and very strong, he reminds me of Curtis Strange. He's very strong in his commitment. He's very sensitive too. And I think that hurt him a lot.
Yeah, I think it hurt more than people think, for sure.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. He's not on his game right now.
No, he's not. Well, who is on their game, by the way?
You know, I'm my pick is on is showing right. good signs of.
All right, we'll get to that when we come back. How about that? We'll get to your pick when we come back.
Okay.
Let me offer everybody my free Voodoo Pain Relief Cream sample, 2-week free supply. All you got to do is go to voodoopainrelief.com to get it. So go there and check it out. voodoopainrelief.com.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny. the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carla Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Junie. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough, that we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go like, how do I detach from this idea of, is that my baggage? It doesn't look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get ready for Smart Money Happy Hour. Pull up a chair. It's the happy hour you wish your friends were having.
Mix two money experts with some hot takes and a splash of nostalgia, and you get me, George Campbell.
And me, Rachel Cruz, talking unfiltered about what's going on in the world, pop culture, and how to afford a life you love.
We're talking money, celebrity budgets, and my budget for my two French bulldogs. It's a lot.
You'll hear it all on Smart Money Happy Hour. Listen on the iHeart app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so you teased it a little bit there, Steve. Who do you like here? I mean, what do you like, the Spieth? Do you like Spieth?
We talked about, you know, guys that get up for majors, and well, I mean, one of the big guys is Brooks Koepka, no doubt about it. He'll play like a dog, and then the major comes around, and he's right there. Another guy is just like that, and he's shown some signs. He showed some signs over the last 3 months, and that would be my pick, Jordan Spieth.
He's your pick.
I've got some inside info, Hank.
Oh,
I'm not
okay,
reading this. I'm not reading this online. I'm not reading this. I'm not reading this on the newspapers or watching TV. We happened to host a North Texas PGA Junior event here before our greens went brown, and who was here with his son? But Cameron McCormick was here.
Okay.
And so one of our teachers said, "Hey, Cameron's here." So I went out and I said hi, and I said, "Hey, man, congratulations on the comeback." And he says, "Yeah, now all we have to do is hang on to it and keep it going." So I think they think they're onto something.
Well, that's a good thing, to hang on to it and keep it going, not try to, you know, mess with it.
Exactly.
It kind of looks like they just went back to where they were, doesn't it?
The people that are in the know say that Butch's influence really helped. Showed him where he should be.
Yeah.
I didn't hear any specifics, but his club is definitely less across the line. I mean,
right,
he talked about
right.
Bryson DeChambeau and Jordan Spieth is the same way. I mean, he's borderline. He's not Ricky Fowler. He's not Sergio Garcia with it laid off at the top, but he's definitely not across the line anymore at the top. And he's keeping his driver. He still has a little problems, but the thing I liked about what Cameron McCormick said was that let's just do what we've been doing. Let's not try to be innovators. Let's not try to reinvent the wheel. Let's just keep the dang thing in play. And he's got a swing that it looks a lot more rhythmic now. The club is not getting stuck behind him as much. He still does take really heavy divots with his short irons, Hank, which that kind of concerns me. But those guys are going to be hitting a lot of partial shots out there, a lot of, under the wind shots, a lot of knockdowns. And I like Jordan Spieth only because he's playing better and because he is a guy that his game rises to the occasion.
Yeah, he does. There's no doubt about that. Okay, so he's your pick.
That's who I've got. Yeah, I'm going with him.
Right. All right, let's go over some matchups. Minnesota Tim put together some matchups. John Rahm versus Koepka. Who do you like?
I got to go with Rahm only because Rahm has been playing well, and I don't think there's anybody out there that's been playing as well as Rahm has.
Yeah.
He's not like DeChambeau. He doesn't have to make declarations or anything like that. I mean, he's just improving, and he's winning golf tournaments.
All right, I'm there with you. I like Rahm. I mean, Koepka's so tough in the majors, but I don't know. You never know what you're going to get from him. But I don't know. I'll go Rahm. Rory versus Dustin Johnson. Here's another one. Dustin Johnson's record at the Open Championship, he is 51st in 2019, missed the cut in 2018, 54th in 2017. Of course, Rory's got a missed cut in 2019. That's when they played his home course. And then he finished, but 18, he's second, and 17, he was fourth, and 16, he was fifth. I mean, I got to go Rory on that one. I don't know what's going on with DJ. One of my favorite players. I would on a streak of picking him all the time, but yeah, I'm not a fan of obviously Rory's putting, but DJ hasn't putted good either. So, I mean, it's kind of a wash there. So I'm going to go Rory on that one.
I'm with you. There's only one change here. This Open Championship is unlike any other Open Championship. It's a quarantined Open Championship. It's like what Michael Phelps told us about when he would go to swimming events. He said, Hank, I've been all over the world, and all I've seen is the inside of a hotel room. Mm. It wasn't about the experience. It wasn't about sightseeing. It wasn't about anything but going for the competition. And I think because these guys have been quarantined, I mean, they can't even go to the grocery store.
That's ridiculous. There's 35,000 people or 32,000 people. Did you see the Stanley Cup playoffs? Did you see that?
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
Sure you did. You're a big hockey fan. How about what they had going on in Montreal? 3,000 people in the stadium, 30,000 people outside the stadium, shoulder to shoulder, no mask, and somehow that picture looks good to people. I mean, that makes sense to people. That makes sense to someone. I don't know who the someone is, but that makes sense to someone. And the same thing here at this Open Championship. You can't go, you're vaccinated or you can't come in I don't think you can play unless you're vaccinated. I don't know.
Right.
I mean, you for sure have to have a test. Probably have to be vaccinated. Most of the guys are all vaccinated. Even if you are vaccinated, you can't go to the grocery store. You're not even allowed to go to the grocery store, but yet they've got 32,000 people there at the tournament. They're not showing their this makes no sense at all, Steve.
No, it does. It does. A logical guy like you cannot make sense out of this. But
no.
For that reason, Hank, for the shut-in,
yeah,
I think Dustin Johnson, a lot of pressure on Rory.
Oh, so you give DJ the nod on being shut
in. I'm gonna go with DJ on that only because he doesn't get out. No pints with the locals. He's going to be on his own. He's on his own with his buddy Caddy.
Okay. All right. The next one we got is Spieth against Justin Thomas. You picked Spieth. I agree with you on that. And Dustin Thomas is, one of my favorites, but I got a pretty good feeling about Spieth too.
Yeah.
I really do.
What do you think's wrong with Justin Thomas?
I don't know. I can't get past his putting.
Yeah, he's
107th in putting, Steve.
Yeah.
And he's not hitting it quite as good as he did last year, but he's fifth strokes gained tee to green. And he'll hit some errant drives, whatever, but I mean, he's fifth. He's 13th around the green. He's 55th off the tee. He's not the greatest driver. He'll hit some of those right balls with his driver. But I just do not trust his putting at all.
Ever since they took the polo pony off his shirt, he hadn't played very well.
Well, he won the players, but that was his you know, saving grace for the year. Anyway, I got to go with Spieth. I like Spieth. I'm back on his bandwagon. I'm a big Spieth fan. These are two of my favorite players, but I just think Spieth is I love the fact that, like you said, he'll give you everything he's got every single time he tees it up. Not that right. Justin Thomas doesn't. It's just that Spieth, it seems like there's not many that can dig as deep as him.
Yeah.
I mean, think about how good he played when he couldn't hit the broadside of a barn, Steve.
I know. He just tries to figure out a way to make it work.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I mean, it's painful. It's painful for him sometimes. It was painful for 2 years. Yeah. I mean, the guy couldn't find his ball and he was still grinding it out.
Yeah.
I don't see that in Justin Thomas. I don't see. He had a lot of extended period of great play, but now that he's struggling, it's like the wheels are falling off, Hank.
Yeah, I know. All right. Here's the last one we got. This is a good one. Colin Morikawa versus Bryson DeChambeau. Morikawa's first in approach shot to the green, first tee to green. Bryson DeChambeau first off the tee, sixth tee to green, eighth tee to green. So he's dropped back. See, I was right about that. He was first tee to green for a long time. Now he's eighth.
Right.
So you go from first to eighth in a, you know, 3 or 4 week stretch. You're not hitting it great. Bryson DeChambeau's history at the Open Championship is miscut, tied for 51st, and miscut. And Morikawa's never played in an Open Championship. Although this is a little different one because let me put this in there. They say Royal St. George is pretty green and lush, which is not necessarily going to make it like a United States course, but it's not, you know, hit it along the ground and watch it run. You're going to at least have to hit the ball in the air, or it's going to be okay if you do hit the ball in the air. You know, the long driver, but you said he feels like he can only listen. If Bryson DeChambeau can only let it, you know, the big dog eat a couple holes, well, how could anybody pick him in a tournament? I got to go Colin Morikawa.
Yeah. I like Colin Morikawa. I like his perseverance. He's a non-assuming player. I mean, you don't even know he's there half the time, and all of a sudden he's on the leaderboard. You can't argue. I mean, you got to love his stats, Hank.
Oh, except for his putting. He's horrible. 172nd. Okay, so let me ask you this. You being the great putter that you are, although I've never seen you make a putt, but let me ask you this. Advantage or disadvantage to these guys that are weak putters playing on slower greens? Open Championship is slower greens. They keep the greens slower just in case the wind starts blowing 50 miles an hour and the ball won't stop on the green. Is that a good thing or a bad thing for guys that struggle with their putting?
Well, you were the one that always told me, Hank, that they're all great putters out on the PGA Tour. Some are better than others.
And
let's not pretend that they're as bad a putter as I am. I would have problems on slow and fast greens. But these guys, I think when the greens are a little bit slower, they don't have to worry about a ball getting away from them so much.
Okay, well, let me clarify that statement you said first off. When I said that, it's because you told me I was a great putter. And I said, you only think I'm a great putter because you're comparing me to you. I said, I'm not nowhere near a great putter if you compare me to a touring pro. Okay, that's where that comment came from.
I would come back because back in the day, I was traveling, you were traveling, and I'd see you, and I'd say, gosh, Hank, this guy, Tim O'Hearn? What's the guy's name?
Yeah, Nick O'Hearn.
Nick O'Hearn.
Yeah.
I said, dang, that guy is a great putter, Hank. He said, the guy's got a broomstick. He said, but you know what? They're all good putters.
Yeah.
Every one of those guys is a great putter. I think for a guy that, especially a yipper, a guy that's I'm not sure that Colin Morikawa is a yipper. He has gone to the left arm lock. He's gone with the claw grip on the right hand.
Is he arm locking too?
He was arm locking. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
You got to think that there's some issues, but you know what? America's favorite. What's his name? The guy from San Diego. Gosh darn it.
Shoffley.
Joffrey.
Yeah.
I mean, he putts left hand low, and then he went to the left arm lock, and he says, "I putt better that way." Even though, you know,
no, now he's back. He's back. I saw him on Twitter. He bagged it.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah, he's already bagged it.
But I think the slower greens, Hank, I think the slower greens help a guy that has some issues with speed control. He's not going to be afraid. Not going to be afraid that that ball is going to get away from him. You know, I can't wait for this competition to start, Hank, because, you know, you got some guys that are there to just be there and to partake in the and to be seen there. And then you got just a handful of guys that really think that they can win this tournament. We're going to see a lot of guys that we've never even seen before. I was looking through the field.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. The great pronunciator would have to come. I mean, there's no way you and Tim would be able to pronounce half these names.
Okay. Give me that. I'm going back to something you just said. Give me the handful that think they should win. Obviously, John Rahm. Okay.
Well, you know, I think John Rahm, you got Brooks Koepka, obviously.
Yeah. Okay. Koepka. Same guys.
I mean, it's all the guys that, I mean, Rory McIlroy thinks that he should win.
Okay,
I don't think he's gonna.
That's three. Spieth. Does Spieth think he should win at where he is now?
You know, I think he thinks he's going to be in the mix.
Okay.
I don't know that he goes to a tournament thinking that he's the winner. I know he's going to prepare himself to be battling. He's assuming that he's going to be there on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Billy Horschel's thinking he's going there to win. He's all pissed because he can't go out and have a pint.
Yeah, does Shoffley think he's going to win?
I don't think so. I think that he could be there on Sunday, and it wouldn't surprise anybody. But I don't think he goes to that tournament thinking he's going to win this tournament.
What about Justin Thomas? He's a confident guy. Do you think he thinks he's going to win?
Not this week.
Really?
Not this week. I think he's got to have a little bit of bright spot before he looks like a guy that gets on a roll, Hank, and he can play well for a number of weeks. He hasn't been doing very well.
Yeah, well, he's top 10 last week.
I think Dustin Johnson thinks he can win. Dustin Johnson thinks he can win. And you want to go with some foreigners? I think that, the foreigners, you talked about a lot every 5 years that the tours turn over 50%. I think we're seeing that right now. I mean,
no doubt about it.
You know, I don't see. I mean, you got a Henrik Stenson's 181st in the FedEx right now. I mean, the world ranking is not very good. Graham McDowell's not. You know, I mean, he's a guy that gets up for tournaments. I mean, 178th in the world. Jason Day's not really part of the European group, but he's flashes. Tommy Fleetwood, I just don't see a lot. Rafa Cabrera Bello. I mean, who is Europe gonna, other than Rahm, who are they going to think that, hey, you know, these guys have a chance to win?
Yeah. I don't know. Fleetwood's 30-1. He hadn't done anything.
No. And it's weird though, because you've got, I mean, the FedEx points are a little bit skewed because a lot of the European players did not come over.
That's true.
For the start of the season. As usual, I mean, this is now, remember, this is a tournament that, you know, it had some, you talk about great courses and great setups. Now this course had, I'm not sure that it had a lot. Well, I guess you could say that had Shane Lowry and Ben Curtis have won here. Not that they're not great players.
No, Lowry won at Point Rush. Lowry didn't win here.
Oh, okay.
He might have won here a European event or something, but he didn't win here.
You know, I was wrong on that one again.
Okay.
We're even though, because you had the Adam Scott quote.
That's correct.
Wrong.
That's correct. But that's correct. But this is where Ben Curtis won, right?
Yes. Yes. Royal St. George's.
You know what? Here's my prediction for this week. I don't have a name. Is that?
Ooh, I like that. Okay.
I don't have a name.
What's the characteristics?
But
characteristics of the winner.
I don't think I don't have a name. I have no name, but I'm going to say that it's going to be somebody that we don't think is going to win.
No, I love that.
It's going to
be
like
that. Sounds like me.
No, it's going to be like a, well, I can't pick a name because there's just 100 to pick from. It's going to be like a Ben Curtis or, you know, some of these other guys that have won the Open Championship. And, you know, they came out of nowhere. And that's just what this looks like. Because it, now, if I was betting, okay, I'm not betting until after the tournament gets started. I want to see what happens. I want to see who jumps off. But if I was had to lay a bet down right now, okay, I would take John Rahm.
Okay.
Because I just think John, but my gut tells me that I'm going to lose that bet. And it's going to be somebody that is just, you know, it's going to be another Ben Curtis deal. Just because I don't think this golf course is one. Like, I wouldn't say that if they were playing at St. Andrews or if they were playing at Muirfield or they were playing. But this is a golf course, I think, that can produce a little bit of a surprise. That's what I think.
I've got a name for you. And I'm not committing you to this name. But this guy's a good player, and he's been playing well lately. I'm saying that this guy that you don't know the name of yet, his name could be Cameron Smith.
That could be. That's a
good
point.
The Australian kid. I mean, he's been playing good. He's a good ball striker.
Yeah, and he's not scared. He's not scared if he
won,
gets there.
If he'd won, we said, "Wow, I had no idea that he was going to win."
That's a good pick. That's a really good pick, actually.
What about your Will Zalatoris? You think he has a chance?
No, I don't think he has a chance.
No. Okay.
No. I mean, it was, you know, if that was going to be a rocket ship taken off floodgates, it was going to happen after the Masters, and it didn't happen. Mm-hmm. He's good. I mean, I think he's going to be a good player. There's just a lot of great players, Steve. Steve, listen, nobody's won more than twice on the PGA Tour this year. And you got Harris English and Stuart Sinker, two of the guys that have won twice. I mean that's not much of a how can you pick that? This isn't like picking a tennis tournament where you got
no there's no domination.
Yeah, there's nothing even close to domination.
I mean you already gave us the scenario of this is a guy that we wouldn't think would win. What would you say if Poom Sokhsansin won?
That's
do you think he has
happen.
A chance? Is he
no,
part of your
that's no? Not gonna, no,
Poom Sokhsansin? No,
it's somebody that we've heard his name before, but he's just not on anybody's radar. That's what I think is going to happen. That's okay. My pick, anyway. Anyway, all right, good stuff. We'll see. I'll be watching this. Where does this rank in your tournaments to watch? One of your favorites? The least favorite? What do you like it or not?
Yeah, I mean, I got to put it in a grouping, Hank. This is my favorite time of the year because you've got so many things going on. We just got the NHL Stanley Cup Finals are ending. We got the Olympic trials, and then we got the Olympics after the. We got a big season ahead of us in sports because we got the Open Championship, then we have the Olympics, and then everything else.
You're big into this.
I'm gonna go picture in picture in picture. Picture and picture and picture to watch all of these sporting events, and I can't wait.
All right. What about do you prefer good weather versus bad weather?
You know, I'd like to see them hit shots. I'd like to see them do what they can do rather than just a survival test. I'd rather see them play golf.
So you'd rather decent weather?
Yeah, decent weather. Decent weather. What do you like the survival?
Yeah, I like the rain coming down sideways.
Oh.
I want to see every time I turn on the Open Championship, I hope I see rain coming down sideways. I want to see them battle it out. I prefer to see players battle it out against nature versus battle it out against man-made obstacles like they do at the US Open. Where they just grow up the rough 6 inches tall. I like to watch struggles, but I like to be it rain and wind, not trick up something or deep rough, chip out. That's not the kind of struggle I really care about watching. That's just me. That's my deal, you know. I mean, everybody's got their own deal. All right, good stuff, Steve. I appreciate you joining me, bud. All right, Follow us on Twitter at Hank Haney and then at Stevie Ray J. If you can figure
that out. No. Great predictor one. Great predictor one.
Oh, you changed
your name. Predictor one. Yeah, I had to change it.
How have you been doing on your prediction, by the way? Are you on a roll or pretty good or what do you think?
You know, I mean, you and I had the winner of the U.S. Open.
Okay.
We picked the U.S. Open.
You picked Rahm there?
Yeah.
Nice.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And, so
you
I'm
got speed. You
I'm
have speed here too, huh?
Yes.
Speed here. Why you? I like your pick actually.
In fact, Doug Alexander asked me. He says, "Who are you going to pick this week?" I said, "I don't know if he's going to win, but he's going to beat Hank's and Tim's pick." And you haven't even picked yet.
No, I picked Rahm. I'm picking Rahm.
Oh, okay. You're okay. Rahminator.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All righty. All right. I'm feeling good about Jordan Spieth, and you're feeling good about Rahm.
I'm going Rahm back to back. I want to see a dominant player on the PGA Tour.
Wow. Well, is there any hesitation about a guy? I mean, he's a little questionable on the cheating deal, you know?
What? What? Where?
I mean, he was that tarnishes a little bit. And this is a few years ago, but I mean, he's taking drops and stuff, and I don't know.
Oh, so
I got a problem with a guy. Yeah, you know, loose with the rules. I like him. I don't know if he's still doing it, but
you consider him to be loose with the rules.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Right. I don't know. I didn't really take that into consideration. I didn't. I guess I gave him the benefit of the doubt.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's you though. That's what you do.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I'm all right with Rahm. I love his interviews.
Yeah.
He's got, you know, I like, he's got something to say. I like the fact we got a few guys that are, you know, out there. Rahm's got some good interviews. Rory, you got to give Rory credit on an interview. DeChambeau, you know, is good. Koepka is good. Spieth is good. I mean, that's one good thing. I mean, I just went down the favorites, four of the top five favorites, or five of the top six. And they're all good interviews versus, and the only one I left out was DJ, who, you know, you get nothing out of him. But the rest of the guys, you got something. And I think that part I do like for sure. All right. We got to roll. Appreciate everybody listening. Steve, thanks for being on with me. Awesome to hear your voice. And make sure you hit the follow button on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. And you will hear the Hank Haney podcast every day. Appreciate everybody listening. Have a great day. Stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. The Hank Haney Podcast is a production of iHeartRadio.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.